Mickey Ryan and Braden Gall filling in again today for the Hitman. One last day for Braden, 4 days of what I'm calling Braden Gall held hostage. I know you're going to enjoy this. You can go back and listen to the stuff we've done on the Zone podcast page. You can also catch everything he does at 440 Sports. Some great stuff there. And Preds fans, soccer fans, there's a lot of stuff there, Braden, for sports fans of all types in Nashville. You explained to me your philosophy of 440 Sports, and I love it. You're giving all sorts of people a good place to stop and get information.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. We can talk about this as long as you want to, Mickey. I don't know if there's anything else happening in college football right now. I think there's so many, the city's getting bigger and bigger, and we got three professional sports teams, and I think there's just so many good people doing good work. I just want to carve out my little niche and check out all the shows. We got SEC stuff there talking about expansion, which we're going to do today on this show. We've got a media show that comes out on Fridays, Lamestream Sports. So, which of course, you've tried to avoid, it seems like. It seems like you're ducking me, Mickey, coming on the show. Like, if I asked, would you come on the show, or are you ducking me? Are you scared to come on Lamestream Sports?
I'm not scared at all. My lameness has been exposed daily for 2 hours on this radio program, so I'm happy to come and share it with others. Let's go ahead and shift into the big stories of the day. And one is the big story that broke yesterday in our last segment. I was like, wait, what is this? Houston Chronicle, Texas and Oklahoma. It, within 2 weeks, this was via Football Scoop, who had put their name on it as well, essentially saying, yeah, man, this is the Houston Chronicle broke the story, but we're here to tell you we're on board with it. Texas and Oklahoma leaving the SEC, and this is funny because I was listening to the last segment of Buck's show, and Joe Hunk, who's filling in today for Lucas, and will do a great job as he always does, and you can hear Joe as part of 3HL every day on the station. he read the poll results, and it was essentially, for SEC fans, do you want Texas and Oklahoma in expansion? And he said it was 50-50. Like, there are people saying, no, we don't want them. I got to tell you, man, what you're seeing today is your conference. I don't care what conference you root for. It's not going to be the same. And probably really soon, I would say that it's like a pedal tavern and it's going by. You need to go ahead and jump on that thing because you don't want to get left behind by it.
No, I think this is, to me, it's insane for the SEC not to want to say yes to Texas and Oklahoma. And from what I've, like, I did, this is one of those stories, Mickey, especially for those of us who've worked in college athletics, that, like, if I go outside for 30 minutes to mow the lawn, I feel like I'm not doing my job because, like, I don't know what happened for 30 minutes and I feel disconnected to the story. I talked to a lot of people down in Austin last night as this was sort of unfolding, just to gauge like how serious do you guys think this is, or is this just Texas being Texas? Like, Texas always wants to think that they are changing the world, that they're the thing that can change everything, and frankly, they are the most powerful athletic department in the country. They're the most lucrative, most powerful. They're the only one that can go like 7-5 and still make $200 million. Like, it's just how it is. And so they are very serious with this. They are down the road with this. And the only, what I've been told is the only reason all of this has gotten out is that other people in the Big 12 are terrified and want to stop it. So the only reason this is out right now is because people are trying to gain public opinion on their side to get this shut down, to try to save the Big 12. Texas, I have been told, is basically out the door. They're ready to leave, whether it's the SEC or somewhere else. They want to be a free agent. They want to go to the highest bidder. And there is only one first phone call if you are Texas. And the first phone call is to Greg Sankey into the SEC. And it would be absolutely idiotic for the SEC not to say yes because of exactly what you said. You have to view college football 15, 20 years from now. What does it look like? Is it four super conferences? Does it look like the NFL? What does it look like? And Oklahoma and Texas in a 16-team SEC gives you permanent stability forever as a conference, as the most powerful, the most successful, the most talented, and the most financially viable league that has ever been created, ever. It puts a stake in the Big 12. it's a no-brainer if you're the SEC, and it's why I think Texas people are so optimistic about this actually happening, which is crazy to me because it broke like yesterday afternoon.
And this is the thing. It's one of those things that you live for in the business that we do. You're live on the radio, and some entity just tweets out, hey, Texas and Oklahoma just told the Big 12 they're leaving. They're going to join the SEC. That's manna from heaven, literally just raining down upon right. your broadcast.
Right.
And you're like, oh, my gosh. But then once you think about it, what did we start the show with saying yesterday or the day before? It was the day before. Greg Sankey's the most powerful guy in sports. Or Monday, maybe. It's Thursday. The days run together for me.
All of the days can start with Greg Sankey is the most powerful man in college football. That's just how you can start your morning. Drink a cup of coffee, acknowledge, bow down to Greg Sankey.
Print that on the mug that you drink out of.
Right, right.
So if we start the show and started the week of shows acknowledging that as SEC media days get going, and you know then people are kind of reminded, and maybe even by Greg Sankey himself, when there was indecision everywhere, they made a plan. We're going to play each other 10 times, and we're going to go ahead and start our season. Here's when we're going to start it, and away we go. They've been decisive about things. They've been on the cutting edge of things. Because of the SEC, and this is another thing we discussed, there was actually a college football season last year. They had a clear and concise plan. They executed it to the best of their abilities. Then everybody wound up playing, including the cameo appearance from the Pac-12, which, no offense to anybody from the Pac-12, it's a beautiful country out there, and I love it. My thing was, why bother? You have no, I mean, you can play each other, but there's no national significance worry that you're going to play for the championship ultimately, And they proved me right. And again, I got nothing but love. It's beautiful country out there, and I love going out west to visit. But everybody else is scrambling right now like cockroaches when you turn the light on. And I thought about this for the Big Ten, Braden, and you could probably speak to this way better than I could. Because of the academic way that they do business and their alignment, they can't just take anybody. You have to fit.
Right.
Academically into the Big Ten. So it's not like you can go, oh, well, they'll just take everybody who's left that they want in the Big 12. There has to be an academic alignment as well as a sports alignment.
Like West Virginia is fascinating in all of this because really, really West Virginia is an SEC school. Missouri is a Big Ten school that ended up in the SEC. But once you join the SEC, you never leave. And West Virginia fits in this conference. Like they just like from a personality standpoint, culturally, like it's a small town, like football is king. Like it's just it's an SEC cultural school, but they are they're probably the best football program maybe after Oklahoma and Texas, with the exception of maybe Oklahoma State that would be available. Should Texas and OU join the SEC, West Virginia might be the best program available from like a size and scope and tradition and TV and all that other stuff. But like they don't fit in the ACC or the Big Ten from an academic standpoint. I talked to a Big 12 coach yesterday. I think Kansas is the team that I think the Big Ten would go after, number one. I don't know. Unbelievable basketball school, really good academic school, gives them an extension of their Nebraska sort of footprint a little bit. I don't know who the second school would be that they go after. Iowa State is logical, but Iowa State, you know, they already have Iowa, so I could see it could be TCU. Very good academic school, gives them the Dallas-Fort Worth market. So Kansas and TCU could be the two that make a lot of sense that I've heard mentioned. The other ones are just going to be left either creating their own new league or going out to the Pac-12. Notre Dame could easily slide into the ACC and they could pluck one more school and the ACC could easily match the SEC's maneuvers in all of this. The issue is I just don't see anyone who can even come close to matching the football prowess of SEC if they were to add Texas and Oklahoma. And everybody's playing this right now, I think, the right way. A&M and Missouri don't want Texas on the outside. Outwardly facing, they want to appear to not want Texas and Oklahoma. And so that's why Ross Bjork is out there saying all that, we want to be the only brand in Texas. You know what changes Ross Bjork's opinion? An extra zero at the end of his budget at the end of the year when Texas and Oklahoma make the league an extra $100 million a year. I mean, that's what we're talking about here, that this is all about money. And so, again, you can complain about adding Oklahoma and Texas. I don't know why. I honestly can't come up with a reason other than it's just maybe it's getting too big for your taste. But yeah. But like, think about having Texas and Texas A&M back again. Think about having Oklahoma. You know how many people would want, how many coaches in the SEC would want to run it up on Oklahoma and Texas? You know how much vitriol there would be? It would be spectacular.
All of it, yes.
For viewing. It would be amazing. And you know what that means? TV ratings go up. You can charge more for your contract and your rights, and more tickets are sold. It is a no-brainer if you are the SEC and they want to come. And by all accounts, Oklahoma's just sort of riding shotgun right now. But by all accounts, everything I've heard, it's very serious. Missouri will vote against it as well, from what I've been told. That's, they need to get 11 yes votes in the SEC to say yes, to get them to come in. I don't see A&M getting any more than Missouri. I think 12-2 is what the vote would be if they took it today, if I had to guess. And I think behind closed doors, Missouri and A&M are even saying, yeah, it's okay. We want to vote publicly so that you guys can't accuse us of liking Texas, but right. Privately, we're going to like all that money that they bring to the table.
All right, three observations based on everything you said. Number one, and I truly believe this, Ross Bjork looks like an action figure. Like if you went to the store and bought a Ross Bjork action figure and he like barked out, you know, doctrine of college athletics, I don't know what superpowers he would have, but he looks like an action figure.
His superpower is making burner phones disappear from Oxford. That is his superpower.
So he would come with a burner phone that would disappear. Like you'd have to get it wet and it would reappear.
Yeah, oh, yeah. It's invisible ink on a phone, I guess. Yeah.
Right. So for children, you'd have to find a way to make the gimmick work, but he looks like an action figure. Number two, for everybody who's young and they're listening to the show and they're like, Texas is stupid. You guys have been saying this for 2 days. Texas is so great. Money in Texas. Google Texas. Just Google Texas football. Google it. Just Google it. And it will just explode in your face with history. And you'll be blown away by what maybe you didn't know. And I get it. This is an old guy yelling into a microphone about how great Texas is. Sometimes you got to look past your own like scope of how far back you can see things. Texas is one of the biggest brand names in college football history, like Braden has been saying. I mean, you don't write the history of college football without the Texas Longhorns. That's the whole thing. You can get them in your conference. Okay, that's point number two.
Yeah, Oklahoma's the good football team. Texas is the powerful brand. Like, that's what you're getting, right? Like,
oil money. That's
the goal here. Texas isn't great at football, although they do have a national championship way sooner than Tennessee does, for example. But
like 6 years.
It doesn't matter if they're 8-4. What matters is how many dollars you can tack onto the television contract. That's all that matters.
And the third point is just that. I've read everything I can find about this. CBS Sports did basically a timeline of it. I saw Barrett Salia tweeted this out. The expected revenue jump with the addition of Texas and Oklahoma per school would go from 44, which was the current payout amount, to 60. So that's 16 more million just straight off the top from the jump. 16 more million dollars just to go, I vote yes. You would make $16 million for it when they pass out the little slips. If you would check the yes box, $16 billion, yes.
That's $224 million per year for the conference by checking the yes box. So would you like to go to prom with me? Yes or no? Like the answer is yes, Greg Sankey. So the real issue is all about the legal stuff. Like if the SEC wants them, they're there and they'll come, and it's the right move for everybody. Like it's probably not the right move for the rest of college football. Honestly, it may not be healthy for the rest of college football, but it is great for the SEC and great for those two schools. And it's great for lawyers that are going to get paid a boatload of cash to try to figure out how to make it all work legally. That's the bigger question.
Yeah. The current TV contracts for Oklahoma and Texas go through 2025 right now. That's where their rights are assigned, are with the Big 12 until 2025. So some hoops would have to be jumped through. Ron Slay probably can't jump through any hoops, but he could jump up and dunk on you, and he's about to dunk on us because he joins us next from 3HL. He has been in Hoover covering all the crazy SEC Media Day stuff, including their interview with Greg Sankey yesterday where they got I want to talk about this season. He pinned him down. We're going to pin down Ron next. It's Blaine and Mickey with special guest Braden Gall, 104.5 The Zone. Okay. Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. Braden Gall from 440 Sports hanging out with me for another day. So we got Braden Gall and we got Ron Slay joining us from the 3HL crew. Ron, fresh off a visit to Birmingham, let me ask you this, just on a personal basis, what does a Ron Slay visit to Birmingham, Alabama look like, and what is it comprised of?
Man, first of all, it's a lot.
Be honest, Slay.
It involves, first, I was a chauffeur. That's first and foremost, chauffeuring my beautiful team down there and back. That was one. Then it relied on me opening up the Boom Boom Room to guests that have never been in the Boom Boom Room before, and they gave good answers. Also, I would like to announce we were given two awards, and I like to think I had a part in that. Commissioner Sankey, he didn't make this public, so I'm giving you guys breaking news. He whispered in my ear and said, "You guys are the best looking and the most athletic looking bunch that we have down here." So, hey, those two awards, from the player's perspective of Ron Slay, Mickey, I love it. I came away winning. So, hey.
Slay, I have been to Radio Row in Hoover, Alabama. The best looking, most athletic bar is not very high to clear. All right, dude.
Yeah. See, Brad, don't you spoil it. Don't spoil it for everybody. See, don't you let me paint the picture. You just sell the picture I paint. Don't you repaint it.
All right. Well, do you get any good food? Any good spots down there you can tell the people about when they visit Birmingham?
Man, this is the problem. I was given the list late, and honestly, Joe Hunk warned me and told me, man, when you go down there, I'm telling you, the first day your adrenaline going to be pumping, you're not going to get no sleep. The second day you're going to be running on fumes, you ain't going to be doing nothing but want to get there and sleep and have a drink. So I really didn't get to get out and test any foods, man, because it was such a scramble, and I was in such – man, it's an extravaganza that's put on for SEC media football for people that have never been. Like, it's something you should want to see. If you're a fan of SEC sports and your favorite college football team is in the SEC, you should go down there and experience it, man. It is, woo, it's some work, man. And you don't realize this as a player, you know what I mean? But being on the media side, totally different. So I didn't get to really get out and see any restaurants or test any food, but I did notice they had a lot of Boom Boom sauce down there for stuff like tater tots and wings, and nobody ran it by me. So I'm gonna take that to the city council down there and see if I can get that removed.
So there were 1,600 media members credentialed like 2 years ago at SEC media days. Like when you were playing and you went to basketball, like how many people were walking around asking questions of basketball players before the season started?
Man, first and foremost, man, it was nowhere near what football had taken place. But we did have our fair share, and it was like a whirlwind. You get off the jet, they swoop you into the hotel, you go straight to the podium, get down. And then at that time, we had a table that we used to go to. And I brought this up to Commissioner Sankey. You guys can listen to it on the podcast. But I brought it up to him, and he was like, at that time, I do remember the tables. He was like, yeah, we improved a lot of things since then. You know, that 03 was when he was involved with it. So he did remember that, sitting down at the round table and just getting rushed. I probably had, at that time, man, I was coming off an injury and, you know, trying to get back. I probably had at least 40 people around me asking questions, which was wild. You know, usually you're just dealing with the local media, and then, you know, you make it to the NCAA tournament, you see a whirlwind. But outside of the NCAA tournament, it was the next best thing for me.
Ron Slay from 3HL, our guest, by the way. I've never been in the Boom Boom Room myself, so hopefully someday that will be something that happens.
Don't you worry, Mickey.
Okay, all right.
Do I need to lock the door? Do I need to lock the door now, or are we doing this now?
No, we're going to prep him, because that's my brother. Like, that's my brother right there, huh? Don't lock the door on him yet. Man, Mickey, eyes might get real big if he hear that door locked.
They might, for sure. Did Greg Sankey's eyes get real big yesterday when you guys were asking him about this merger multiple times?
Hey,
by the way, people can check that out on the podcast page.
Oh my gosh, man. Like, when we asked him, he looked at us like, Dude, I got hit with it right when you got hit with it. Like, first of all, who let this out? That's the look he had on his face. Like, hey, man, who told them I was hiding a Chevelle in the garage, man, when you ain't supposed to have no drop tops out right now? So it was like, man, he had a pissed off look about it. But he did answer the questions and he dodged them as well as he could. And it was like he was caught off guard with it, you know, and like it's been happening in the works and he wanted to announce it when he did. And this right here was by force, not by choice. So, I think he did a terrific job of dodging the questions and answering it the best he could, but man, he was not a happy camper. He went back and regrouped and came back out and did some more radio interviews after hours, but we caught him first. So we got the raw reaction, and it was, yeah, this would have made Bart Simpson walk to the chalkboard and write his name over and over.
It was Oklahoma State, by the way, Ron. That's who let it all out. It was definitely Oklahoma State.
Wow.
What that just pure speculation on my part here.
Okay.
Let me ask you about that. Like, my favorite part of SEC Media Days is getting to sit down and talk with players and see their mm-hmm. personalities and see their how thoughtful they are and their interests outside of sports. Who struck you this week that you've had a chance to, whether it was an interview, whether it was just standing in the hallway, like who do fans need to know about to watch this season, because they're like, man, that kid right there was just incredible.
Man, immediately off the page is Alante Taylor. Like, whatever was going on last year with him and Pruitt, I don't understand it, but this young man, the way he articulates himself, the way he opens up to people, he doesn't hide anything. What you see is what you're going to get from him, and he's going to let you know about it. So he was one. Another one was Jordan Davis from Georgia. Woo, he's a big boy. I know I'm big, but Jordan Davis, Lord have mercy. Like, it's some human beings, man, that I've seen, and John Henderson is one. I sit him right beside an Albert Haynesworth or a John Henderson, probably about 2 inches shorter. But, boy, he take up some space. So he was impressive. Stingley. Stingley was one that opened that was kind of quiet, but once he got in the boom boom room, he opened up, had to throw a couple jabs at him to get him, you know, to let his guard down. But he was good. Stingley was one, man, that I was really impressed by. And then, of course, Mechie from Alabama, man. When he got in the boom boom room, he was the guy that was really impressive. I didn't know he was from Nigeria. He opened up about a lot of things, and his confidence, man. That's one thing I look for in the players when I get to see them in person and then get to have a conversation with them. The confidence was really, really impressive from these young men, man. And I think the biggest shocker was the big guy, I don't know how to say his last name, but Kingsley from South Carolina. He was really impressive. So, and I didn't think South Carolina, you know, as a Vol fan, I'm not too impressed by anything what South Carolina does. But this young man, hey, he was on point, you know. And then we had Davion Davis who wanted to challenge me to a game of basketball, but I know Vanderbilt produces some smart guys, but I don't want to say he's too bright, you know. Anyway, but that's neither here nor there.
Ron Slay, the shade throwing tour begins following SEC Media Days. The 3HL crew were down there. You can catch all their interviews again on the Zone podcast page. He joins us courtesy of the Mark Spade Real Estate Hotline. So, Slay, Josh Heupel, he spoke. A, did you learn anything about him that you didn't know? And B, do you feel better, worse, or the same about him leading your beloved Vols football team now that you've heard him address the SEC media and the world?
You know what? I feel about the same. I feel he's getting more comfortable each interview he does. And the ones that he does one-on-one outside of being at a podium, you kind of get the more relatable Heupel, and I think who he really is when he does those interviews. The ones at the podium, he's kind of speeding through it, getting his words out, run on sentences and everything, kind of like his offense. But outside of that, he's a guy, man, that can really, I think, really didn't want to set the bar too high or set a bar at all, but a guy that more so focused on the family and the relationships and building relationships with the players, man. What I didn't really know was that these players were broken. And I think we saw that by all these kids going into the transfer portal. And he's having to do a job as far as not only being a head football coach, but being a psychiatrist, a father, an uncle, brother. Then have to turn around and be the coach again. Like, he has his plate full, man. I think he's handling it well. As far as anything I didn't know, I did get an opportunity to talk to him during the spring game in Orange and White. To come back and talk to him in this setting after meeting him, he was way more relaxed again. So, it wasn't too much given, but as a man standing there and talking to him, I feel comfortable with him leading the young men up on the hill.
Yeah, I thought he sounded like a professional adult head football coach, Ron, and that's not always been the case at Tennessee.
Right. This is very true. This is very true. I know one thing for sure, man. The players can relate. I think he did a great job assembling his staff and, not having a big gap as far as having like a 60-year-old or a 70-year-old right there trying to call plays, but having somebody that can relate to these guys. And I think you saw that across the whole landscape of the coaches that we were able to interview. You saw that with Orgeron. You saw that with a lot of the coaches. So that's a big part, man, being able to relate to these kids and bridge the gap, which is missing in a lot of these programs. So I think Heupel has a jump on that.
Ron Slay, our guest from 3HL. Ron, how about Nick Saban? He was, at a high school coaches convention on his way to SEC Media Day. So just dropping that his quarterback's already made $1 million in endorsements, knowing then he'll get asked about it again at SEC Media Days because it's out there. But it's like, yeah, I mean, you can win championships. You can make $1 million. I mean, Alabama's not a bad place to be, Slay.
Hey, boy, when you say strategic, that man there is playing chess, man. Coach Saban is, hey, that was one bomb that he dropped on him. Like, what as a quarterback, a top 20 quarterback in the nation, how do you turn it down? Even if you got to go and wait your turn, how do you turn that down? You're like, it's crazy. He knew exactly what he was doing. But I tell you what, man, that was my first time seeing him outside of the sidelines and coaching. I'm a big fan of The Godfather. This man moves like Michael Corleone. I'm like, it's so many state troopers, Secret Service people. I think I saw a sniper laying down in the mall by Chick-fil-A. Like, it was crazy, man. Like, but it is what it is, man. I guess he's the Don, so you got to protect the Don.
It's funny. He's talking about his quarterback making $1 million who has not started a game, by the way.
let's
be honest. Dude has not even started a game yet. Now, I will ask you this. What was there any team that you went into the event thinking one way about and on the field came out of the event, whether worse, better or worse, whatever, either side of the coin, did you go into the event thinking, all right, I think X, Y, and Z about this team. Now I feel differently about that team. Is there a team that changed your opinion and your experience being down there talking to all these folks?
Yeah, I think one that comes to mind right away is, I hate to say this, but I'm going to be a media member on this one. Florida Gators, man. They really changed my mind, being able to talk to the defensive guys, the linebacker and the D lineman. They, like, the way they presented themselves, the energy that they had, the way they talked about being able to get back in spring football around their guys, having no really restrictions, no COVID restrictions, and be able to get active was really impressive. And I know that defense was probably the worst that they've seen in a long, long time, and probably could have had one of those guys that rummaged through Buck's trash, the little trash rats running through playing better defense than them. But they presented themselves like they've been working and they're ready to get at it, and they walked around like they had a chip on their shoulder, ready to come out and prove a point. Another one that was unexpected, and I know this man, but I haven't talked to him since high school. He was very, very impressive. That's Clark Lee. Like, nothing's forced with Clark Lee. And as much as I like to give the Commodores hell, they got a great hire in Clark Lee, man. And this is one of the first times that I've seen a situation where people in the mid-state are backing him. And they should be. You know, like, I salute him, man. He carries himself very well. Looks like he's ready to get his point across to his guys, and they're latching on to it. So, you know, he had a long trail ahead, but I think they got the right guy right there in place of Vander.
Ron Slay, our guest on the Mark Spain Real Estate Hotline. Shameless plug, Clark Lee will join us at around 2:20 today. Vanderbilt head coach, thank you for
joining
us. Yeah, thank you. That's radio. Hey. Just radio gold, Slay. You're a pro. So you got fired up about the Gators down there. Are you fired up enough to think they can beat Georgia this year in the East? Are you that on to the Gators now?
If you would have asked me Tuesday night after probably about 5 or 6 Tito's, I would have said, yeah. But I'm sober right now, so no.
Okay. All right.
I think Georgia's defense is too serious.
At least he's honest.
Okay. All right. So it's just as simple this year as Bama and Georgia again, you say?
Yeah, as much as I hate to say it, yeah, I believe so. And I think if that defense, depending on what that quarterback play does, I think Mullen will have those guys ready to go. And we're in a stage now where you don't see, and Coach Orgeron hit on this, you don't see the 13 or 20 teams being held to 13 or 20 or 27. Like, you hold a team to 32 or 30, you got a great opportunity to win the way people are scoring in the SEC now. So, I think this Florida team will shock a couple of people. Not enough to shock Georgia, though. I think that defense is just a little different, especially looking at Big Davis, man. That guy, that big guy, I want to walk around with him to see how many people bow down to him, because that's a big old guy, man.
Well, he wants to walk around with you, too, I'm quite sure, because he recognizes the greatness of Ron Slay, just like we all do. At Ron Slay 35, you can follow him on Twitter there. You can catch him every day on this station on 3HL following this Blaine and Mickey program. Slay, thank you, man. Appreciate the time today, buddy.
Man, I appreciate you guys having me on. Make sure you tell Clark Lee, in my book, he got best dressed, man. That blazer in person looked really, really good. So he's starting out on the right foot.
Okay.
That's the last Commodore congratulations you'll ever hear from me this year, too. So
take that. Nice coach. All right, we'll pass that along to Ron Slay. Again, you can hear him today starting at 3 o'clock with Brent and Babs on 3HL. This is Blaine and Mickey. When we come back, there's some big news out of the NFL, like really big news regarding COVID and your team and forfeits and what happens if a team. Anyway, you will want to hear this. And it's next on Blaine and Mickey with Braden Gall. Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone, hanging out today with Braden Gall for one more day this week from 440 Sports. Been a lot of fun having Braden on. We'll continue to entertain you and ourselves, hopefully, and Joe Hunk, who's filling in for Lucas Panzeca throughout the rest of this hour and next hour. Vanderbilt Clark Lee, football head coach Clark Lee, set to join us at 2:20, so we're looking forward to catching up with Coach Lee. This news out of the NFL, Tom Pelissero basically went on a Twitter filibuster earlier, Braden, and just started laying it all out, this NFL memo that had been leaked about COVID. And here's kind of the big takeaways for me. If a game cannot be rescheduled during the 18-week season, and they said there will not be a week 19 added to fill in dates, due to a COVID outbreak among unvaccinated players, the team with the outbreak will forfeit the game. They will be credited with a loss. And this was the last tweet that I saw. The whole run from Pelissero, I might have led with this. Talk about burying the lead. If a game is canceled and cannot be rescheduled within the current 18-week schedule due to a COVID outbreak, neither team's players will receive their weekly paragraph 5 salary. Nobody gets paid.
Now, how does this work for, like, a Tannehill restructure where he got all of his money as a lump sum in the beginning? All of a sudden, if I'm one of those guys that got my contracts reworked, I'm really, really happy about it. No, look, this is what the conference, this is what Greg Sankey did on Monday. This is what every conference commissioner has done during all these media days events. This is what's happened with the Olympics. This is not, like, new, strange territory. They are not, you know, because of the NFLPA and the how it's collectively bargained, they cannot mandate vaccines. You can mandate vaccines legally in this country for schools and workplaces, and I think it's been litigated for like 100 years. But because of the PA, they cannot mandate vaccines. But you know what they can do? they can make your life absolutely miserable if you don't get a vaccine. And so that's the college football is laying out the rules in July. The NFL is laying out the rules in July. The Olympics laid out the rules before the Olympics. The College World Series rules were laid out before the College World Series. Baseball just had this happen, right, with the Yankees. Everyone knows the rules. And unless you are an epidemiologist or work for the CDC, I don't care about your opinion about the rules. They smart, intelligent people make the rules. And as long as everybody knows the rules, you cannot complain if you break the rules, right? Like, isn't that all we're asking for if you're Titans fans? Is just everyone is treated equally. And maybe that didn't happen last year because you thought maybe you were treated like a guinea pig a little bit during a weird COVID season when they overreacted to, you know, like the national media might have overreacted to some of the rumblings behind the scenes about a practice at NBA or whatever, right? Like,
right.
So I just think as long as everybody knows the rules in July, there's nothing you can complain about, honestly. Like, I just, it's a the game check thing is huge. Like, you're going to dock my pay? I'll go get the vaccine. Thanks.
Yeah, this, I mean, Greg Sankey came out of the gate. That's really the biggest message. That was, as you said, that was essentially the biggest takeaway from Greg Sankey. That was the thing he really hammered away the most at, was it, getting vaccinated and what that means. And that there were, what, six of the 14 teams who had reached 85-90%, whatever the threshold percentage was that they were wanting them to hit. The NFL last year did quite a bit of dancing around. And I'll say this just as a side note to all of this. We're going to get to 18 games one day soon enough and two preseason games. It's going to happen soon enough. They're doing it in Canada, and they've only got like nine teams. They play 18 regular season games. So we're going to get there. So as part of this, think about Tuesday night football last year, Wednesday night. We already have that in college football. I would not be surprised if they can somehow figure out how to do it with like an added bye week into the schedule. So you'd get a bye week, whatever they, however they did it. If we don't see them start to spread this league out throughout the week, so it's not just Sunday and Monday and Thursday, I wouldn't eventually be surprised. And I've never been in favor of more. I like NFL football the way it is. I don't want the product to be watered down. Like, don't add another date. That's what makes Sunday and Sunday night and Monday right. And now Thursday special. I didn't even like them adding Thursday night football, but of course I watch every one of them. I wouldn't be surprised if eventually this gets spilled into some extra days in the week. But right now, if we do, it'll be unintentional. But it does sound like they will try to play them the week of if they can. So we may see a little more of that this week, a Tuesday game or whatever it might be.
Yeah. I'm curious about, I think it's a great question about playing games on other nights of the week. You know, Friday nights are sacred, of course, right? For high school athletes. I don't know. I think, wasn't it like a year ago, 2 years ago, TV executives were saying, look, there might be, we're oversaturating the market with the number of windows that we have. You know, they have, what, five basic NFL windows. I do think because of extenuating circumstances, if all of a sudden you can't play a game on a Sunday at noon, but you can on Tuesday if you just wait 2 days, like, I think being flexible like that is totally reasonable. I think what we saw last year in college football and in the SEC, where like Vanderbilt was scheduled to play Missouri in like 4 days, but that game was canceled, and now Vanderbilt's going to play somebody else, and Missouri's off because they have COVID, or like that is that's not that, none of that's going to happen anymore. Like, they're not going to, they've come out and said very clearly, we're not doing that. Again, this really isn't controversial. It's not difficult to understand. If every player on all these teams is vaccinated, they avoid all of the other things. So just if they just got a vaccine, and we don't have enough airspace or time in our lives to try to explain why vaccines are important and how public health works. But if you just follow the rules, you have a competitive advantage. There's a reason that Alabama, because we know Vanderbilt is going to have to be at 100%, right? Because you're required to, as every student is, to get vaccinated on that campus. There is a reason Alabama is ahead of everyone else in terms of vaccination rate. Okay? Like, just do what Nick Saban does. Like, it's not that complicated. And there's a reason that, you know, again, there's a reason that Alabama is farther ahead of everybody else in the vaccination rate. So don't come crying to us in October. Like that was my message from all these different things from football, whether it's college or pro. It's people saying don't come yelling at us in October. We told you in July what the rules are.
Yeah, I think that last tweet from Tom Pelissero, the you don't get paid if you don't play, because we've seen the NFL more. Just it seems like every time we hear something, it's look, if you're vaccinated, you can go in the lunchroom and you can go anywhere and you can all stand right next to each other all the time. If you're not, then your locker has to be in the bubble and you have to go in. They've already laid all that out. You have very strict protocols if you're not vaccinated just to be in the building. How much more testing, how much more everything you have to have. And so at that point, we were like, boy, they're going to make your life real difficult. This thing, no 1/17 of $5 million or 10 or 20, whatever your salary might be, or maybe you make the minimum of 500K, no 1/17 of that. There may be some dudes who see me at Walgreens tomorrow while they're getting their step number one, because I'm getting my step number two. There may be some guys down there tomorrow saying, hey, man, I'm not missing a paycheck.
Well, and imagine like if you're at like 87%. Imagine the 87% of the players who are following sort of the quote-unquote rules, right? And then a game gets missed because like two guys don't. Like, can you imagine? Like,
no.
The peer pressure, and again, we're seeing this in a lot of other countries where financial incentives are working real fast to increase vaccination rates. And so, I listen, it seems really, really harsh. I understand it. This is not taking money out of like teachers' pockets, though. This is taking money out of millionaires' pockets. So that part of it doesn't bother me as much, I guess, if you want to go that direction with it. But it's pretty steep punishment, and I don't know. It's pretty easy solution, I guess. Right? Like just go get a shot, guys, and you don't have to worry about this.
There is a coach who has not gotten it in a Power 5 conference. He did not share his reasons, but there is a coach. That's a story that's out there. We'll share who it is next. He's not at his media days. He's doing it on Zoom, like we're doing this on Zoom. We're Zooming with you right now. We Zoom into the second hour next. We are about 25 minutes away from Vanderbilt head football coach Clark Lee joining us. It's Blaine and Mickey on 104.5 The Zone.